Hello and welcome to Femini, the podcast where we tell you more about feminism. First, let's precise the definition of feminism. In the dictionary, feminism is defined as an ideology that believes in gender equality and the extension of the woman's parts in society. In today's episode, Feministry, we'll be talking about feminism in history and feminism at school. In the first part of today's episode, our guests and me will be talking about some very important women through different periods of time. In the second part of our podcast, two other guests will be explaining how the lack of feminine representation at school can affect the next generations. Have you ever heard about the myth of Agnodice? Her story is told by the Roman author Gaius Julius Hyginus in his Fabulae. According to Hyginus, she was born in 300 BC and always wanted to learn medicine. She was able to become a student of the famous Alexandrian physician Herophilus by cutting her hair and wearing men's clothing. Then she worked as a physician in Athens, still disguised as a man, as women at the time were forbidden from practicing medicine. She started making discoveries and saving lives, but when her career was at its peak, rival physicians accused her of seducing her patients. She was brought to trial where she revealed her sex to the jury by lifting her tunic. Charged with illegal medicine practice as a woman, Agnodice would have succumbed to the death penalty if she wasn't defended by the women she helped, who praised her for her effective treatments. She was acquitted and the law was amended so that freeborn women could study medicine. Agnodice would then be remembered as the first female gynecologist and a symbol of femininity, determination, and ingenuity. And now we have Fanny, who will be presenting Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Eleanor Aquitaine, born in 1122, died in 1204, was a queen of France and England. She will be one of the most influential queens in the history and will play an important role in the Franco-British relationship. She was defined as an independent woman, wearing, as it was said at the time, inappropriate outfits, riding, being a free spirit, and being cultivated. This is why the people didn't like her, because she wasn't the submissive and devoted wife and was an influential figure for the king. At the age of 15, after becoming Duchess of Aquitaine and Countess of the biggest French domain, she was crowned and married to the French throne's heir, Louis VII. She's part of the Second Crusade, and due to many arguments with her husband, they will divorce in 1152. For a woman, divorcing at the time was very frowned upon. Only 2 months later, she will marry Henry II of England and will become very quickly Queen of England. She is, by the way, the mother of Richard the Lionheart, a very famous English king. After plotting against her husband, she will spend 15 years in prison and will finally be freed by one of her sons. What makes her an interesting feminist figure to us is the fact that she was an influential queen who linked the two most powerful European kingdoms, described as a free spirit and a cultivated woman. You have to know that women education was a priority at the time. She can be considered as a model for middle-aged women.
Next up, Manon will be talking about Nzinga, queen of Ndongo and Matamba.
Have you already heard about Nzinga? This woman, born in 1583, was the queen of Ndongo and Matamba. When she was a baby, her father used to take her to war with him. The colonization war against Portuguese had already started. When her father died, even if Nzinga was smarter, her brother became the king. He knew, of course, that a strong woman like his sister was a danger for him, so he ordered to get his sister's son killed. After that, the siblings became enemies. The new king didn't really know how to take care of the kingdom, so he gave his sister the political power. Nzinga had to negotiate with the Portuguese, and she did. At 16 years old only, she didn't feel impressed by the colons, and she asked her butler to be her chair so she wouldn't have to sit on the floor like the Ndongo woman she was. She negotiated a treaty that the Portuguese never respected. When another country came and took control on Luanda, she made a deal with them against the Portuguese. During the same time, her brother has been poisoned, and she got her revenge by getting her nephew killed too. She became Ndongo's queen. She was treated and respected as a man. She said she would never had a king and kept fighting with her army on the battlefield, even when she was old. She finally died when she was old, and she was 80 years old after she made peace with the Portuguese after all this time.
And finally, Emiland will be speaking about Josephine Baker.
Now I'm going to talk about Josephine Baker, the famous singer. We all know her songs, but who knows her life? She was born under the name Frida Josephine MacDonald, 1906. Her family was really poor, and so her dad left her mom when she was young. Her mom remarried Arthur Martin. Josephine was married at the age of 13 years old, but she kept living with her parents. First marriage ended in 1920, and she started to be part of a band named Dixie Steppers. She wanted to be part of Broadway, but was refused many times. Finally, she met Caroline Regan, wife of the American ambassador in France, who brought her in France. Josephine participated to a show that made of her a star. She started to be really famous and decided to participate in the movie La Sirène des Tropiques. She sang the song J'ai deux amours, which brought her a huge success. She married Jean Lyon and started to live in the castle d'Emiland. Since the beginning of the Second World War, she sang for the French soldiers. Just after, she became a secret agent and lived in Morocco from 1941 to 1944. At the end of the war, she enlisted the Féminine de l'Armée de l'Air and became sous-lieutenant. She had many medals, thanks her for her help in the war. She adopted 12 kids of every origin and called them Tribu Arc-en-Ciel. She died in 1975 in Paris. I think we can say that she was a amazing woman and really in advance for her time.
Thank you everybody for this very interesting first part of our podcast. Now let's move on to the second part. Maxwell and Tenzin will be talking about the absence of female representation in educational programs and how it can affect future generations.
School is one of the most important influences of who we become as an adult. Our personality, our income, our way of thinking, and our view on the world, among other things, is shaped by what we learn and our experiences in school. If this environment is corrupted by sexism, this can have a terrible effect on our world's youth and their ability to see the injustices and fight back. It also can discourage young girls to aim for high-income jobs. This history program is in need of change. Even if women have been less influential than men in general because of a patriarchal society, students need to learn about important women like the ones talked about earlier who help change society and not focus entirely on the role of men throughout history. Getting a formal education is still a problem throughout the world, and 129 million girls are out of school because of child marriage, gender-based violence and poverty, according to the UNICEF. If we want gender equality, the way we educate our girls and boys in school is of primordial importance.
The absence of feminine representation in educational programs can lead to a misconception of the adult world, in which the male is more important than the women, which is completely false. Not only are history curriculums poor at including important women through time, biology, French, and basically all subjects lack equal representation of the sexes. In biology, the most apparent inequality is how the female sexual organ was misrepresented and it still is in most manuals. Until a couple of years ago, the clitoris wasn't put in the diagrams of the female sexual organ, even though it is the main erogenous organ of the woman, whereas the penis is put everywhere even where not necessary. In France, in 2019, only 1 out of 8 biology textbooks place the clitoris in the representations of the female sexual organ. This not only ingrains wrong ideas into the minds of young kids, but also gives the idea that sex and anything sexually related is taboo, which is a whole other discussion. In French as well, most texts in the curriculum are written by men. out of the 16 texts chosen for the 2021 Bach, only 3 were written by women. People might give as an excuse that less women wrote at that time, which is partly true, but there are still thousands of texts to choose from. They're just not as known. But since when is that a bad thing? On the other hand, teachers can choose what they work with and which documents they use. But if educators don't have the right sources to begin with, it's much harder and much more time-consuming to find the right texts, images, diagrams.
We are now going to play an interview of Mr. Millet, our history and geography teacher here at Ravel, to get his input on the lack of feminine representation in the curriculum.
So Mr. Millet, do you think the history curriculum should be updated in a way that it should have more of a representation of feminism or important women in history?
Okay, thank you for this question. So to answer to you, the curriculum was already updated to integrate more women into the history, but it's clearly not enough. We have half of the humanity, so it's clearly not half of the syllabus. Even if we start to speak less about personality in history and more about social movements, it's still clear that women in history are underrepresented. So yes, we need more. After, it's up to the teacher too. They have liberty and they can, if they want, in their syllabus, to choose to speak about some women.
Thank you very much.
This is the end of Feministry, the first episode of Femini, the podcast where hopefully you learn a little bit more about feminism. Today, we learned about important women in history such as Agnodice, Eleanor of Aquitaine, and Zinga of Matamba and Josephine Baker. We then talked about feminine representation in education and how it can change our society. And as a friendly reminder, women aren't asking people to become feminists tomorrow. We are asking people to become feminists today. We are asking people to respect half of the Earth's population. We are asking people to respect 3.5 billion human beings, which your mother, your sister, and your future daughter are all part of. We are asking you to become feminists. Thank you all for listening to the podcast. See you in the next episode of Femini.